probably been close to 20 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to São Paulo, Brazil, and work for 3 months on a church. The missionaries went to our church, which was Calvary at the time, and Dave said, "Bo, TJ, we could certainly use your help." Well, I did go, and it was during the summer months, which was fall kind of weather down there, because they're south of the equator. And I didn't think about it a lot before I left, but those of you who've been to our home, I have a fairly big yard, and it's summer, and there's a lot of grass. And I didn't figure, she said, "I can handle it." Well, little did we realize that it was going to rain probably for a week and a half straight. And so the grass, you know, it stops growing when it rains. So here she is trying to keep the grass cut. And I have communication with her because I can call. But I could tell that she wasn't happy. And as busy as I was in Brazil, I missed her terribly. Not that I didn't like the missionary family that I was staying with, but I missed my wife, the one that God drew me to, drew us together. And being there for 3 months, she came down for our birthdays. It was around 9/11. Her birthday's 9/11. I didn't mean that as far as the towers. She flew down. Oh, she took a plane. And we really had a good time. She was there about a week. But you know, out of 12 weeks, 1 week isn't much. She came home. Now I really missed her. And she came home and the grass was a foot high. So she had a lot on her plate. And one evening, after about 9 weeks, 10 weeks in, we were talking on the phone and she broke loose and she just, "I can't do this. I can't have you gone like this." She says, "I don't know what I'm going to do." And I didn't know what to do. I'm in Brazil. So I'm looking at it and saying, and Dave, the missionary, Dave Santos, Dave said, "TJ, you got to go home." He says, "She's your wife. You've got to go home." And I said, "But my flight," he said, "I don't care about your flight. We'll change it." So he handled that. He got the flight changed. And I went home, what, 2 weeks early? About 2 weeks early. I titled today, "Not Knowing Creates Urgency." It does. Paul couldn't be with the church, the family that he established in Thessalonica. He couldn't be there. And he missed them. But he's concerned for them. I was concerned for her. And he couldn't do anything about it. Is that a helpless feeling? I couldn't just jump in the vehicle or get on a plane or just at random and just quick get home. And Paul was in that same kind of a boat. And what, he wasn't in a boat. That's the problem. Let's read the first three verses But brothers and sisters, when we were orphaned by being separated from you for a short time in person, but not in thought, out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. So they're making, he said, we're making an effort to see you. Why didn't he? For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan blocked our way. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? And he says to the church at Thessalonica, it's you. Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. I researched this up and down, trying to figure out what it was that was preventing Paul from going to visit them. He was pretty adamant about the fact that he really wanted to go. But for some reason, Satan is preventing them from going back. Maybe the plane engine broke. I don't know. We don't have an answer. I'm trying to surmise, the detective in me saying, well, maybe Paul was sick. No, he wasn't sick. Maybe Paul was being held under arrest. You know, if that's the case, then like Timothy was with him, why wasn't he held under arrest? Paul was very outspoken. Maybe somebody was just doing everything in their power to prevent him from leaving. And you know who that was? Satan. Remember this. Satan did everything he could to put Christ down, to kill him, and he did. But he lost. Because Jesus, God, beat Satan at his own game. And he rose from the dead and said, sorry, Satan, you're not in control. I am. Here's a case. Satan is doing his best to stop Paul from going back to the church at Thessalonica. What is an orphan? He said they were orphaned. Merriam-Webster says, orphaned means deprived of parents by death, or, and this fits this passage, or left without care, support, or a connection. He was left without a connection to the people. He couldn't just pick up his cell phone. He couldn't turn on the news. That didn't exist. Could he send a letter? Mm-hmm. How long would it take? You know, it's you don't get information quickly. And Paul, knowing who Paul is and his letters, I mean, I read through his letters and he is so concerned about the people that he has led to the Lord. Whole cities of people, churches. And he prays constantly for them. He agonizes for their well-being. Wow. Do I do that? Do I pray about your well-being? I'm not with you every day, thankfully, on your part. But how do I handle this family that we have? This connection. Paul was taken away from the Thessalonian church or the believers. And I'd like to, somebody got your Bible right there. Acts 17:5-11. I would do that. My tablet is. First, or Acts 17, 5 through 11. Jim, read.
But the Jews, becoming jealous and taking along some wicked men from the marketplace, formed a mob and set the city in an uproar. And they attacked the house of Jason and were seeking to bring them out to the people. When they did not find them, they began dragging Jason and some brothers before the city authorities, shouting, "These men who have upset the world have come here also, and Jason has welcomed them. And they all act contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, Jesus." They stirred up the crowd and the city authorities who heard these things. And when they had received a pledge from Jason and the others, they released them. The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Now these people were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so.
What a terrible thought, but a beautiful thought. You kind of get the mixed motion there. They were powerful in and of themselves, the people, because they were following Jesus and they had his word. Through who? Paul brought it to them. Even though Paul was taken away, they were staying strong. The people that you just heard about, where Paul was, were upset. You come in here teaching and preaching that Jesus is the king. Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right. He is. No, he's not. We've got a king. No, Jesus is the king. He's the ruler of all. They didn't get it. They hadn't been called by God. Do you ever wonder about that? The people we talk to, you think you're talking to a brick wall sometimes? I've had that several times. It's not up to me. It's up to God. Still go talk to him. You tell him the story of Jesus. Don't stop telling that story. God is the one who makes it happen. He's the one who calls. So through jealousy, hate, and evil, Paul's life was put in chaos, like it was a lot of times. His life was put into chaos. He had to escape, literally, for fear of maybe death. They were preaching and teaching the gospel, the story of Jesus. Some evil, hate-filled Jews, it says, didn't approve of these prophets that were telling the Jews about Jesus, who claimed to be the Son of God and equal with God. And this is interesting. So they hired some rabble-rousers and thugs. They did what? They hired some rabble-rousers and thugs to cause an uproar and rioting. And I said, much like today. Oh, my word. When people hate the truth, they'll go to any length to silence it. They'll use their money. They hired thugs to start riots. And what happens when a riot starts? What happens? In a city, when riots start, what happens? People do what? They get afraid. And I'm not going to follow what those guys tell me. These thugs will put me under. Satan's a pretty nice guy. Man, we don't give him enough credit. Because what we see happening in our world today is purely, I get my chance to teach, it's purely God against Satan. And how many people, this is what's dumbfounding to me, how many people have you heard teaching and saying, we've got to fix this, and ignoring God? They think it's, oh, we've got to do this program, or we've got to do this. We can't elect these people. We've got to elect these people. We can't do this. Where are the people saying, wait a minute. You wonder why you've got problems? God is in control, and you've got to turn back to Him. He's the only hope. I don't hear that being said. I mean, think about it. Have you heard that? If you're listening to the right preachers or teachers, you're going to hear it. But we are driven by a political world. And it's all about politics. They failed to come up with the fact that it's good versus evil. God versus the devil. Evil always tries to make good appear bad. What's my thing, Terry Jo? Evil always supports evil. Evil will never support good. Good always supports good. And good will never support evil. It's a faction that you just can't put together. It's worse than water and oil. Because it doesn't mix at all. You could start mixing it, but it's not going to work. Paul and Silas were forced out of the city, and at the time of this writing, they are in Corinth. Paul really wanted to go visit the believers in Thessalonica, but Satan prevented it. Not just once, but several times. It is not known what this satanic hindrance was, but Paul knew it was from Satan. He states it. He used the term, though, for a short time. What's a short time? If you're living in eternity, a short time is a billion years, but as an earthling tied by the sun and the moon and time, a short time might mean a day, a week, a month. We don't know. But he uses the term a short time. He is in no way counting out God's control. Because he said it's only for a short time. Hindrances and all, Paul never gives up. He stays positive. What a lesson. What a lesson for us. In fact, the Thessalonian church is Paul's crowning glory, it says. Let's read verses 1 through 5 of chapter 3. So, and I love this first statement. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. Wow, that's interesting. Because Paul's still saying, we need to continue to strengthen you and encourage you in your faith because you're probably slipping. Paul needs some good news. So that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way, the tempter Satan had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. Would that be a common feeling, to know that Satan is so powerful? The world at that time, especially the Jewish faith, didn't want anything to do with Jesus. So you lead a group of people in a city to follow Jesus. You think that's going to be an easy task? Not going to happen. Paul was concerned. He realized that he could not get away to go to see them, so he sent his adopted son in Christ, Timothy. I don't know how many of you know this, but I was named after him. I really was. My mother did that. And my first name is Timothy. Just call me T. Mr. T. Timothy was sent to minister or serve the Thessalonian church. He was to provide strength and courage to endure the prosecution that they were under. The word unsettled here, or shaken as it was in mine, actually refers to a dog wagging its tail. Shaken. Our little puppy, Coleco. His little butt. His tail, their tails are long, but his little tail starts going and it shakes his whole body. Doesn't it? I mean, his body just shakes. So the whole body is affected by that shaking. And I understood when they gave me this example of a dog wagging its tail, a form of flattery. And Satan is trying to flatter you into thinking it would be good to follow an easier way. No more prosecution if you just go back to your old ways. Our ways. Oh, do we have a tendency to do that? All the time. All the time. It takes a split second to take our mind, eyes, and heart off of Jesus. And it starts to set in. We're susceptible. I hope you don't think that you're set free from that, because you're not. Paul's not. Timothy's not. And they knew that the church at Thessalonica was also not set free. Affliction is guaranteed if you persist in following Jesus. Get used to it. God uses our afflictions to make us strong, because we depend on Him more when that happens. After all, what's the focus of our life? God. Why wouldn't He want to help us? He does. Why would He help us if we don't turn to Him? You know? And we all have troubles. Jesus made that clear. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But never fear. I have overcome the world. Let those that love the Lord hate evil. For I will guard the lives of my faithful ones. And I will deliver them from the hand of the wicked. I hope you can hang on to those promises, because God meant it. Timothy finally reports to Paul about the status of the Thessalonian church. I found out that Timothy and Paul created cell phones, and they talked back and forth on their cell phones. That's how he found out. You believe that? It's not true. It's normally by letter or by a courier that tells the message. So it took a while after Timothy was back to find out that they were doing well, and then to get the word back to Paul. So this short time thing, when I see that, it isn't a week. It's not even a month. But it's a period of time that, to me, seems longer than a month. That report came back to Paul and said the church is, number one, they're standing firm. And they have much faith and love. And even under stress and persecution, which he knew they were going to be under from Satan, Paul is very encouraged. He says that he can now really live because they are standing firm. Go to chapter 3, if you got your Bible there. Verse 6. But Timothy has now, just now, come to us from you and has brought good news. So what does it say? He traveled back. He didn't send a courier. He went back. You want a message to get to somebody and have it be the right message that it should be? Send the person that got the information. Right? You ever do that little game where you send a bit of information down a line of 20 people and by the end it's totally different? Well, this time Timothy went back and told Paul in person. And has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us just as we long to see you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, in all our distress and persecution, we were encouraged about you because of your faith. For now, I love this. Now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy you have in the presence of our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. First appearance doesn't look like they're lacking much in their faith. That's encouraging to Paul. But we're all lacking to a certain extent. We need building up. We need encouragement. I told Terry Joe that this brought me to a courage and discourage. Two separate words mean totally the opposite. But what a great lesson. Courage and discourage. Can't have both. The church in Thessalonica had courage. Remember when we were studying the Old Testament and Joshua was leading the people into the Promised Land? What was a common phrase that was used about courage? Anybody? What was that?
Be strong in the Lord.
There. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. If you're a believer, is God able and capable of giving us strength and courage? I certainly hope so. I know so. Don't be afraid to talk to people, especially people who come at you with, I hate any idea of God, and there is no God. Love them. Pray for them. Pray with them. Have you ever done that? Prayed, offered a prayer with a person that doesn't want to hear? Traditionally, they accept you praying. I mean, I don't know what it is, but I think they see that you're genuinely concerned. He's very encouraged. He can now really live. And when you look that up, what does he mean by really live? I'm excited about life. I was a little discouraged because I'm being held. I can't come back to see you. You can't come and see me. But I'm excited about life. In his circumstances, he was excited about life. I could really live because of the report that I received about your faith and your following of Jesus Christ. Wow, life is good. My labor has not been in vain. And he encourages them to be found blameless and holy when they stand before God. Paul says that on several occasions in several different scriptures, one in Peter or 2 Peter. We live a life that's free to live the way we want to live it. But when we stand before God, are we going to stand in front of him blameless? You know, Jesus died for our sins at the cross, and we accept him and believe in him. Are we going to still stand blameless before God? In Jesus we will. But what about after we've accepted Christ? And the things we choose to do in life, maybe the things we say, what we tell people, how we react to people, a whole host of things. What about how we live our life after we've accepted Christ? Do people truly say, I see God in that person, I see Jesus, and I praise God because of the way you live? That should set us back to think of how am I representing this body of believers and the body overall, the Church of Jesus Christ. Some thoughts. Be on guard and trust Jesus with the tough things. No. Trust God with everything. Can I ask you, Terry Joe? In the last even 5 years, how many times have we said, we don't know where this is going? This is a problem. But we pray. Say, God, we don't have the answer, but you got to show us. And we're just going to be dependent totally on what you do, no matter what. And we're just going to get this worry or concern out of our heart. And I can honestly say we do that. And God always comes through. Always. Always. Reminds me of the Old Testament verses that talk about, remember the former things, he's telling the Jewish people, those from long ago. Remember those things that I did. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, I will do all that I please. That's God. But he's telling them, remember the former things, what I did for you. Don't forget. Continue to trust me. You've had things happen in your life, things that you can look back on and say, I didn't know how I was going to get through that. And later, you can look back and say, wow, God, thank you. I almost made a mistake doing that. Or I almost did this and I shouldn't have. But it wasn't bad. You just turned me in a different direction. And I'm thankful. Remember the former things. Number two, live a joyful life. Be excited. It encourages other believers. Non-believers are drawn to Jesus by our witness. Not every time. But believe me, they are affected by our positive attitude. They see it, whether they want to admit it or not. They see it in us, and it makes a difference. And number three, love each other. No matter what, it brings glory to God. It brings glory to God. Paul was so encouraged. And he said, you just brought glory to God by living the life that I hoped you were living. And I was concerned for you. But now I hear the report and I'm encouraged and I'm excited. Life is good. Let's make sure we live by that standard in our own life. Always trust God and love each other. Father, you are such an awesome Father. You are a God that is in complete and total control. And we go through stuff in life, not even bad things that we don't understand. But if we just can force ourselves to trust you, you will give us that answer. You've promised you would. Thank you for our group of believers, this church, this body. Help us to love each other with everything we're worth. Bring us your glory and your joy. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.